We're glad that you're here. Some of you probably remember when you were younger playing the game, I'm going on a trip. There are a number of different versions to this game, but at its core, it's a guessing game. And you have to make correct guesses without actually knowing what it is that you're trying to guess. For example, in one version of the game, the first person will think of a word and not share it with anybody else. And let's just take the word Christmas. They might think of the word Christmas, and they would say, I'm going on a trip, and I'm going to take it. Now, they have to name something that begins with the first letter of the word Christmas. So they might say, I'm going on a trip, and I'm going to take cookies. It goes to the next person. They have no clue what's going on. And they have to say, I'm going on a trip, and it has to begin with the second letter of the word Christmas. But they don't know that yet. So they'll say, I'm going to take a shovel, and they'll say, no, you can't go with me. And it keeps going around the room until people begin to catch on what it might be. And the third person has to name something from the third letter and the fourth person from the fourth letter, etc., unless they don't get it right. And it just keeps going around until somebody gets that second letter correctly. But no one knows what the first person has chosen as the word. And if somebody makes a correct guess, they say, you can go on my trip with me. If they don't, nope, you can't go. And the object is for the whole group to finally guess the word by naming things that begin with each letter of the word Christmas. So the humor in the game is all the unusual things people will take on this trip. The first person might say, I'm going on a trip and I'm going to take cookies. The second person, if they've caught on by now, might say, I'm going on a trip and I'm going to take a hammock. The third person might say, I'm going on a trip and I'm going to take a rake. The next person says, I'm going on a trip, and I'm going to take an igloo. I mean, what do you do with the letter I? And it goes on like that through the whole word until the whole group has guessed what the word is. So at the end of the game, you're all going on this trip, and you're taking some rather odd, unexpected things with you. Well, all of us are on a journey called life, and everyone's journey is different. Everyone is going to take something different on their journey. And in every journey, there are going to be some unexpected things. Some people's journey through life will take them to unexpected places. Some people's journey through life will take them, will have some unexpected events that take place. Someone else will have unexpected results. And many of those unexpected things in our journey of life come about because of the choices that we have made in life. You see, life is made up of 1,000 of 10,000 choices. Some of them are big, some of them are small. But every choice that you make in life contributes to your journey and goes into making up your journey for what it is. Mary, would you give me a glass of water, please? Excuse me. It's also true that the choices that other people make can affect your journey. And it can affect your journey in some rather unexpected ways. This morning, we're going to look at an individual who went on an unexpected journey largely because of choices that other people made. But behind every choice that someone else made on their journey is the unseen hand of God. Thank you. Doris normally takes care of this for me, and she's not here today. And so today, we're going to look at the journey of the unexpected. And the one person in all the Bible who took a journey in which many unexpected things happened, his journey can be characterized as the unexpected, is the man Joseph. And so let's take a few moments to look at Joseph's story. Joseph is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 30, but I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 37 with me this morning because that's where his story really takes off. It's a long story. The Bible devotes a great deal of time to this one individual. So we're going to look at just certain specific events that happened in his life that were unexpected and that shaped his journey. And we're going to do this somewhat quickly because there are seven major events that took place in Joseph's life that can be classified as unexpected. And the first event is unexpected dreams. Look with me in chapter 37, beginning with verse 5, and in your pew Bible, it's on page 26. And if you just stay there, we're going to just work through chapters 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, so that all be together and you can follow right along. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse 5, he said, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. We all have dreams. Sometimes we remember them the next day, and sometimes we don't. Many dreams can be classified as unexpected. We've all had dreams that were triggered by something we did the day before, or by something we watched on television the night before. But then there are those dreams that you can't explain. You wake up the next morning and you wonder, where did that come from? Have you ever had a dream about someone that you haven't seen for 30 years or 40 years? That happened to me recently. I woke up the next morning and said, where in the world? I haven't thought of that person in probably close to 40 years. Where did that come from? That's the kind of dream that Joseph had. There was nothing in his life or in his experience that can explain these dreams. His sheaf standing upright and all his brother's sheaves bowing down to it. The sun, the moon, the stars all bowing down to Joseph. There's nothing that can explain his dream except the hand of God. These dreams were God's way of preparing Joseph for what was to be. Unexpected dreams. The next thing that we see about Joseph is an unexpected destination. Joseph had angered his brothers first because, and we didn't read this, but prior to what we read, his father, he was sort of dad's favorite. And his dad, you know, gave him that coat of many colors and treated him well. And then he had these dreams. And they were looking for some way to get even with Joseph. Their dad had sent them out to take care of the sheep. And they had to go from place to place looking for grassland for the sheep. And after so many days, his father said, go check on your brothers and see how they're doing. And as the brothers saw him coming closer, they saw their opportunity to get even with Joseph. And they took him and they threw him into an abandoned well until they could decide what to do. Some of the brothers wanted to kill him. Others wanted to do something but not kill him. Look in verse 23 of chapter 37. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was upon him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listen. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Some commentators have said that 20 shekels of silver was the common price of a slave. What you don't see at this point in Joseph's story is the hand of God. But it was there. Joseph's life had just taken another unexpected turn. When he had gone out to see how his brothers were doing, he never expected his brothers to respond this way. He never expected them to throw him into a pit. He never expected to be sold as a slave and taken to Egypt. The third thing that we see in his story is an unexpected event. Joseph is taken down into Egypt, and he is sold as a slave to a man named Potiphar, who was a high-ranking official in Pharaoh's court. And Joseph served Potiphar well. In fact, God blessed Joseph, and in turn, because of God's blessing on Joseph, Potiphar was blessed. And eventually, Potiphar made Joseph the steward over all of his household. Joseph was the ruler, if you will. Joseph was the foreman over everything Potiphar owned, with one exception. And it was that one exception that got Joseph in trouble. Let's pick up the story in chapter 39 at the end of verse 6. It says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her, to lie with her, or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us, and he came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside.'" And as you can imagine, as the story goes on to tell us, when her husband got home, she shared that same story with Potiphar. And that false accusation got Joseph in a lot of trouble with his employer and landed Joseph in jail. Where was God? If you or I had been in that situation, don't you think we would be asking ourselves, where is God now? I've been sold as a slave into a foreign country. Now I've been falsely accused and lied about when I kept my integrity. I did the right thing. How many of you have ever done the right thing and bad things have happened because of that? We've all been there, probably. And now he ends up in the most secure jail in Egypt. This was Potiphar's. This was Pharaoh's jail. And Joseph easily could have asked himself, where's God now? Then another unexpected thing happened. I've called this an unexpected opportunity. Look over at chapter 40. In prison, God again blesses Joseph, and the jailer puts him in charge of all the other prisoners in the jail. Now, two of those prisoners who were in the jail were people who had served Pharaoh. One had been his chief baker, and the other was his chief butler. And for some reason that we're not told, Pharaoh had thrown him into prison. We know from history that rulers, and this is true of many of the pharaohs in Egypt, were very temperamental people. It didn't take a whole lot to set them off. It didn't take a whole lot to make them angry. And if you made someone like Pharaoh angry, you could easily end up in prison. And that's what happened to the chief baker and the chief butler. And on the same night in prison, they both had a dream, a very similar dream, that neither one of them understood. And they came to Joseph, and he had an opportunity to interpret their dreams. The dream of the baker was that he would die. The dream of the chief butler was that he would be restored to his position in Pharaoh's court. Let's pick up in chapter 40 with verse 20. Now it came to pass on the third day, apparently the third day after he interpreted these dreams, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. All Joseph had asked was that when the chief butler was restored his position, that you would remember me to Pharaoh, that you would tell him about this poor guy down in the prison who was there falsely, who was in prison because of something he did not do, and maybe Pharaoh would take pity. You see, the hand of God is still moving in the story of Joseph, even though at this point Joseph may not have seen it. But the chief butler forgot Joseph. Then we see an unexpected turn of events. 2 years go by. 2 years after the chief butler has been restored to his position in Pharaoh's court, Pharaoh had a dream that no one in Egypt could explain to him. His dream, as you recall the story, had to do with 7 fat, healthy cows and 7 sickly, scrawny cows. And Pharaoh wondered what the dream was about. And suddenly, the chief butler remembered. And he told Pharaoh about a Hebrew slave down in his jail who had successfully interpreted the dreams of the chief baker, and it had worked out just like he said he had been killed, and my dream as a chief butler, and it worked out just like he said I was restored to my position. And that led to an unexpected turn of events in Joseph's life. In chapter 41, let's pick up with verse 9. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. At least he was man enough to take the responsibility. I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, on the same night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man, he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothes, and came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then Pharaoh told him his dream. And Joseph was able to tell Pharaoh the meaning of the dream. The seven fat, healthy cows meant there's going to be 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of a good harvest in Egypt. The seven scrawny, sickly cows that came up out of the Nile River and ate the healthy cows meant that there was going to be 7 years of famine. Joseph went in this one instance from being falsely accused and forgotten in prison to standing in front of the most powerful man in the kingdom telling him what his dream meant. God's hand is becoming a little more evident now. Well, this unexpected turn of events led to an unexpected reward. Over in chapter 41 again in verse 37. So the advice that Joseph gave was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Can you imagine what a 24-hour period that was in Joseph's life? 24 hours earlier, he's rotting in the dungeon. He could not have imagined the change that was coming in his life. And he goes in 24 hours from prisoner to power, from leadership in the prison to leadership in the entire kingdom, ostensibly the most powerful kingdom at that point in the world. God is working.